الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فهذا درس تفسير لكتاب تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمة الله تعالى عليه. وكنا قد شرعنا في تفسير سورة الكهف، ووصلنا إلى الآية رقم 8. نعم، وسوف نكمل اليوم بإذن الله ما تيسر لنا أو ما سيتيسر لنا من التفسير، فأرجو الانتباه. So we started Surah Al-Kahf. We're currently at verse number 8, and I believe we were through with it. We're actually, we finished verse number 8. We will be initiating the explanation of verses 9 to 12, and now we're going into the subject matter. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله جل وعلا says: أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا. There will be 6,000 riyals speaking fee. I'm just joking. 600 riyals. 6,000 is too much, man. That's more than most people's salaries. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the brothers would like to read the verses 9 to 12 in English, please, from your noble Quran. Yes, don't be shy. Mr. Omar Muhammad Abdulaziz, you don't have one? You want to read? Go ahead, go ahead. Verse number 9.
Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription, the names of the people of the cave, were one there among our time? Remember when the young man fled for refuge to the king?
Yes.
He said, "Our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself and facilitate for us our affair in the right way."
Ayyuan.
Therefore, we cover up their sense of hearing, causing them to go in deep sleep in the cave for a number of years.
Yes.
Then we raise them up from the sleep that we might test which of the two markets was best of calculating the time period that we had started.
Beautiful. Barakallahu feek. Hopefully everybody understood this. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, says, regarding the first verse, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. He says, وَهَذَا الْإِسْتِفْهَامُ بِمَعْنَى النَّفْيِ وَالنَّهْيِ، أي لا تظن أن قصة أصحاب الكهف وما جرى لهم غريبة على آيات الله وبديعة في حكمته، وأنه لا نظير لها ولا مجانس لها، بل لله تعالى من الآيات العجيبة الغريبة ما هو كثير من جنس آياته في أصحاب الكهف وأعظم منها. The Shaykh said, this question that was posed, right? Allah said, are you wondrous about the story of the people of the cave? It's a question. The Shaykh said, this question here comes with the meaning of negating. يعني do not think that this is a unique wonder of the wonders of Allah. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's a wondrous story how these men, we will see how they went into the cave and they remained there for so many years. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not, is striking it in the form of a question, yet at the same time, it is it's making a statement, negating the fact that this should be only the wonder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, so do not think that the story of the people of the cave and what has happened to them, it is a strange event from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something that is innovated in his wisdom, and that there's nothing equal to it. He says, and there's no similarity to it. بل لله تعالى من الآيات العجيبة ما هو كثير. ما من الآيات العجيبة الغريبة ما هو كثير. He said rather from the signs of Allah, from among the signs of Allah that are wondrous and strange are many of them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to happen. Just to strike the example, Moses and the stick, right? Jesus and giving the sight to the blind, giving life to the dead by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abraham was thrown into the fire didn't burn him. Noah was saved in the ark. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Abdul Hadi. Aywa, that's yes, huh? Everybody seen him, huh? What time is it right now? 9 or 8?
I don't know.
Oh, I said till 9:10, huh?
Yes.
Wallah, you're good. I totally forgot. MashaAllah. That's the only part you remember. What verse did we stop at? You don't remember that. Yes.
You have to stop again. 2 minutes more.
Drink coffee. So stay with me here, huh? So Allah subhanahu, as I was mentioning, each prophet and messenger, and sometimes otherwise, they were given signs and miracles and wondrous things that usually you don't think that they will happen unless they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh is saying here that this is the intention behind this particular verse. Do not think that this is, you have to open it. Do not think that this is something new or it's an innovation. There you are. Be careful, it leaks when you pour it. You have to be very gentle. No, it's good. No, it's be honest. You just have to. You are. This is a coffee / tafsir class.
Coffee and tafsir class.
Where can you find it?
Yeah, huh? Aywa. Tayyib. And the Shaykh says, فَلَمْ يَزَلِ اللَّهُ يُرِي عِبَادَهُ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ بِهِ الْحَقَّ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ وَالْهُدَى مِنَ الضَّلَالِ وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ بِهَذَا النَّفِي عَنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ قِصَّةَ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ مِنَ الْعَجَائِبِ بَلْ هِيَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ الْعَجِيبَةِ وَإِنَّمَا الْمُرَادُ أَنَّ جِنْسَهَا كَثِيرٌ جِدًّا فالوقوف معها وحدها في مقام العجب والاستغراب نقص في العلم والعقل بل وظيفة المؤمن التفكر بجميع آيات الله التي دعا الله العباد إلى التفكر فيها فأنها مفتاح الإيمان وطريق العلم والإيقان. The Shaykh said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously and constantly showing His servants His signs, whether through the horizon, through the universe, or within ourselves. You see signs in your creation, and you see signs in the creation of Allah beyond you, outside of you. When you see how they study when they go up to the moon, or the, you know, the galaxies, and how vast and large the universe is, and how everything is circulating in a certain motion, and everything is like in the form of swimming in the space, and gravity and what have you. All these are signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put for us so we can see them. And the signs that you have within yourself. So the Shaykh said Allah is continuously doing this so the people will be able to distinguish between the truth and the falsehood, and guidance versus misguidance. And what is intended here by negating the fact that the story of the Ahlul Kahf is wondrous is not negating the whole uniqueness of the story. Rather, it is to confirm it. Because it is among the strange and wondrous things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to His creation. He said, but there are many similar to it. So to only take this story alone and disregard all the rest is deficiency in the knowledge and deficiency in a person's intellect. But verily the obligation or the duty of every Muslim is to look into all of the signs of Allah. To look at all of the signs of Allah and to wonder about the greatness of their greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had called His servants in the Quran to ponder upon them. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ آيَاتِ Allah says, in the creation of the heavens and the earth are signs. For people who remember Allah often, those who remember Allah sitting and on the side and what have you, from the continuation of the verse of Surah Al-Imran. Nonetheless, Allah has called us in the Quran often to ponder upon His creation. Look into this creation. Because when you see the creation, you can recognize the Creator. When you appreciate the creation, you will appreciate the one who created the creation. If the creation is so outstanding and so magnificent, then what about the one who created it? With a word, be and it is. Subhanallah. So this is the key to Iman. This is the key to faith. And the path of knowledge and certainty. By pondering upon the signs of Allah.
As-salamu
alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. Ya Shaykh, we thought it was the policeman. I mean, this was back before. I used to get scared every time somebody knocked on my door. Alhamdulillah, since Allah guided us, we don't worry anymore. But you scared me, remind me of the jahiliyyah.
I'm going
to
the time.
Yeah, you remind me. What time, ya Shaykh? You are fired. It is 9:13, man. You come late and you scare us. Wallahi shagla. طيب. The Shaykh says, وَأَضَفَهُمْ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ الَّذِي هُوَ الْغَارُ فِي الْجَبَلِ وَالرَّقِيمِ أَيَ الْكِتَابِ الَّذِي قَدْ رُقِّمَتْ فِيهِ أَسْمَاؤُهُمْ وَقِصَّتُهُمْ لِمُلَازَمَتِهِمْ لَهَا لَهُ دَهْرًا طَوِيلًا. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them the people of the cave because they actually belong to the cave, and the cave is an opening. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Over there, Tani, not Tani, what about Muslim Jadeed? طيب, 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 patience. So, a cave, everybody knows what a cave is, right?
Yeah.
It's an opening in a mountain. Yeah. So they were called Ashab al-Kahfi, the companions of the cave, wal-Raqim. Shaykh says, al-Raqim, ayil kitab, is the book, الَّذِي قَدْ رُقِّمَتْ فِيهِ أَسْمَاهُمْ, the book in which their names and their story was written in. طيب. So it becomes a raqam for that book because they were in this cave and in this book for a long time. Their story was in the book for a long time and they were in the cave for a long time. So they were called the companions of the cave. Just like when one of us, he's known for one quality, they call him that he's a brother with that such and such. If you're tall, he's a tall brother. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the people will recognize you. These young men, their issue and the biggest part of their story is the fact that they were in the cave for so many years. So they were called the companions of the cave. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ قِصَّتُهُمْ مُجْمَلَةً وَفَصَّلَهَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ إِذْ أَوَّلْ فِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ طَيِّبْ. The Shaykh said then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned their story as an outline. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detailed the story afterwards. So he said, "Id awal fityatu," meaning when the young men directed themselves and went towards the cave. إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يُرِدُونَ بِذَلِكَ التَّحَصُّنَ وَتَحَرُّجْ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ قَوْمِهِمْ لَهُمْ. The reason why they did this, of course we will come across the story in details. But just to give you a preview, these young men were living among the people who were disbelievers. And these young men had believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had accepted Islam. When their people knew that they have embraced Islam and they have left their religion, they threatened to kill them. And they wanted to bring them back even into the religion of disbelief so they could leave Islam or kill them. So these young men, they escaped. They got their backpacks and whatever, they got their things that they need to survive, and they went to the cave, running away from their people. So now we will see what happened. فَقَالُوا, so they said, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, grant us from you mercy. So they seek refuge in Allah. They seek assistance from Allah. أي تثبتنا بها وتحفظنا من الشر وتوفقنا للخير. Meaning what is intended by rahmah, meaning something that will keep us firm on Islam, and something that will protect us from evil, and something that will facilitate for us goodness. وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا أي يسر لنا كل سبب موصل إلى الرشد وأصلح لنا أمر ديننا ودنيانا. Meaning facilitate for us every affair that would lead us to guidance. And rectify for us our deen, our religion, wa dunyana, our life, our worldly life. فجمعوا بين السعي والفرار من الفتنة. So they combine two qualities, striving running, escaping their people, and running away from fitna. Escaping the fitna, because they don't want to remain among the disbelieving people. إِلَى مَحَلٍ يُمْكِنُ الْإِسْتِخْفَاءُ فِيهِ. And they ran to a place where they will be able to hide. وَبَيْنَ تَضَرُّعِهِمْ وَسُؤَالِهِمْ لِلَّهِ تَيْسِيرِ أُمُورِهِمْ وَعَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. They've also combined humbling themselves to Allah, humbling themselves to Allah and asking Him to facilitate their affairs. وَعَدَمِ إِنْكَالِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَعَدَمِ إِتِّكَالِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ الْخَلْقِ. And they seek refuge from Allah for making them depend upon themselves and upon the creation. And this is very important for us to understand. Because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومْ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيبْ أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهُ وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. The Prophet peace be upon him used to say, يَا حَيُّ who's alive, قَيُّومْ, the one who the creation is maintained through. بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيبْ, it is your mercy that I'm begging for. أَصْلِحْ لِي أَمْرِي كُلَّهُ, facilitate for me all of my affairs, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. Do not make me depend on myself, not even the blink of an eye. يعني, if one of us believes that he is self-sufficient and he does not need Allah for a blink of an eye, then he is mistaken. Because the Prophet peace be upon him is to supplicate to Allah not to leave him, not even for the time of a blink of an eye. Rather, he wants Allah to be arranging his affairs and facilitating for him and protecting him all the time. Didn't even sacrifice a blink of an eye. And these young men did so. They didn't depend on themselves. As they first tried by going to the cave and escaping, then did they just sit there? Then they turned towards Allah and they supplicated to Allah and they showed humbleness to Allah. Allah, we need your mercy. We need it to facilitate for us. We are in a state of fitna. We are being tried by our people. They want us to go back to disbelief. So they depended on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you depend on Allah, then you will be sufficed. When you depend upon Allah, you will be sufficed. Why? Because Allah controls all of the creation. If Allah wants something to happen to you or me, wallahi, no one can change it. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding his mount, his animal, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was riding behind him. So he told him, Ya ghulam inni mu'allimuka kalimat. He said, oh young boy, I will teach you some words. احفظ الله احفظ. Protect the religion, the rights of Allah, Allah will protect you. Then he continued the narration. At the end he told him, and know that if all of the creation came to harm you with one thing that Allah did not have written for you, nobody will be able to harm you. And if all of the creation came to benefit you with one thing that Allah didn't have written for you, they will never be able to benefit you. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. You're fired. Aywa, you laughing, huh?
Very hard to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, shit. What do you think we were doing? We all woke up in the morning. Yeah. We all have wives. Hopefully. Maybe most of us have wives. Inshallah, soon enough, inshallah. Be patient. Maybe you'll marry two of them. Anywho, excuse me, I always forget that this is being recorded. Later on, they're going to say, man, I don't know what kind of class this brother was having. Allahumma ista'an. So this is important to know. If everybody in the world wanted to harm you, this is why we need to have this iman. When you have this iman, you will know how to deal with your kafir. You will know how to deal with your boss. You will know how to deal with the whole world. So sometimes we fear the person, a human being, and we don't fear Allah. And we hold back on our rights. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And we hold back on our rights because we are afraid of the kafir. If we truly believe properly, we will know that we should look out for the rights of Allah before any human being. Whoever the kafir is, he's a human being and he is under the control of Allah and he can do nothing and harm you with nothing except with by the will of Allah. If me and you go to please Allah, then Allah will suffice us. You can tell your kafir, if you're a driver, listen Habibi, I'm a Muslim, you're a Muslim. Salah time, don't send me nowhere. Don't tell me go get me hamburger, go drop off my daughter, don't tell me to take nobody during Salah time. I have a right to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to deprive me of my right? In a gentle way. But at the end of the day, you have the right to say this. Because he is the servant of Allah. And you are the servant of Allah. He cannot deprive you of your right. If we truly believe that he cannot harm us, even if he called the Amir, called the Sultan, called all the presidents of the world, and all of them came to put you in prison, if Allah doesn't have it written for you to go to prison, wallahi, nobody will be able to put his finger on you. Because it's all under the command of Allah. Likewise, if you try to seek benefit from people and have him help you and Allah doesn't have it written for you, nobody will be able to benefit you except by the will of Allah. This is why the Prophet ﷺ taught this to a young man, Ibn Abbas, trying to instill this aqidah, this belief system from youth. Know that if all of the people came to harm you with something Allah doesn't have written for you, nobody will be able to harm you. So then we depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what these brothers did. These are our Muslim brothers, these people of the cave, are our Muslim brothers, although they came maybe millions of years ago. Maybe they came many years ago. And they did not know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they were Muslims because they submitted to Allah. And any human being who lived on this earth, whether from the time of Noah until today, who believed in Allah and the messenger that was present during his time, and he believed in Allah and his messenger, whomever he was, then he is a Muslim. He is our brother, Muslim brother or sister. After a messenger comes and they reject him, then they become disbelievers. Such as the Jews did this with Jesus. The Jesus came and he was a messenger from Allah. The Jews had messengers come before him. When he came and they know that he's a messenger of Allah. Man, he was given a miracle. And he gave life to the dead, yes. He gave sight to the blind. He spoke while he was a baby. Yet they rejected him. They said, you're a liar. They wanted to kill him. Although they believed in Musa, and they believed in Yusuf, and they believed in Jacob, and they believed in all of the prophets that were sent to them, as soon as they disbelieved in Jesus Christ, they became disbelievers. Because they rejected a messenger that came from Allah. And then the Christians did the same thing with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those, because they were among the Christians in the early time of Christians, those who did not believe in Trinity, by the way. Because it took 320 some years before Trinity was introduced into the Christian doctrine. In the beginning there was no Trinity. It was believing in Allah and His Messenger. Jesus was not the Son of God yet. This was something that was introduced into Christianity 325 years later. You read the history, you know it better than me. In the early times, there were Christians who believed in what Jesus Christ was about. So they were believers. Some of them remained on this belief system even after the doctrine of Trinity was introduced. Many Christians did not accept it, by the way. They were killed. But those who survived, they remained. They still believed in Allah and His Messenger. But as soon as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a messenger, as soon as they reject him, they have automatically disbelieved. Even if they didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Because among the pillars of faith is that you believe in all of the messengers of God. Once you try to make a distinction between them, you are a disbeliever. And Allah says in the Quran, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Nuh belied the messengers. Now Nuh was the first messenger. There was no other messenger with him. Yet Allah said it in the plural, the people of Nuh belied the messengers. Meaning by disbelieving in Nuh, they automatically disbelieved in all of the prophets and messengers who came after him. Why? Because they have a quality of disbelief. It is not an issue with the Prophet. It is not an issue with the truth. It is not an issue with his miracles. All this is clear for the people who want guidance. It's an issue with the people. They do not want to believe. So they will look for excuses. Everybody's understanding what I'm saying? So Allah says in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verily those who want to make a distinction between Allah and His messengers, by saying, we believe in some, and disbelieve in some, and they want to take a path in between, these are أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These are the disbelievers in truth. Allah says it clearly in the Quran. Whoever wants to make a distinction between Allah and His Messenger, say, wallah, we believe in some. I believe in Moses, Jacob, David, Solomon, etc., Noah, Moses, but I don't believe in Muhammad, peace be upon him. Once you come and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're telling the Creator what you want, you have automatically went outside of belief. You don't qualify. You don't deserve. Because you don't tell God who to send, who to accept, and what have you. Your job is to submit to Allah. If it came from Allah with the proof, you submit to Him. Just because Jacob is a Jew and I'm an Arab, and Arabs don't like the Jew, so some genius Muslim tells you, oh, I don't believe in any of the prophets of the Jews. I don't like the Jews. Then you're a disbeliever. This is not a matter of choice or matter of opinion or matter of ethnicity. Allah, he's from this country and I'm from this country. This is the religion of Allah. This is faith. This is hell and heaven. So there's no games, no playing around with these kind of things. So anyways, the idea here that these youth who were our Muslim brothers escaped their people who were trying to take them back into disbelief by hiding in the cave. They did the right thing by turning towards Allah. Turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by humbling themselves and supplicating to Him so He would release them and shower His mercy upon them. And when they did this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اِدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, and your Lord has said, invoke to me and I will respond to your invocation. Supplicate to me, I will answer your supplication. It's a promise from Allah. They did that, and we will see what the result was. The Shaykh said, فَلِذَلِكَ اسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ دُعَاءَهُمْ وَقَيَّدَ لَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي حِسَابِهِمْ قَالَ فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا أي أنمناهم وهي 300 سنة وتسع سنين وفي النوم المذكور حفظ لقلوبهم من الاضطراب والخوف وحفظ لهم من قومهم وليكون آية بينة. The Shaykh said, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded and accepted their invocation and their supplication. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for them something that they never even imagined. And that is that He concealed their upon their ears, meaning they went into the state of sleep. They were sleeping in the cave for 309 years asleep. And the Shaykh said, and in this sleep of theirs, there's protection for their heart from fear. Because let's say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them through another means. Let's say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built a ladder partition or some sort of thing that would prevent their people from ever discovering them. But He kept them alive. You will be worried. Even if you're in the room and we have this door locked, tayyib, but we know that somebody might come, even if we know that he cannot come in because this metal, it's a metal door. No way they can open it, but your heart will be in a state of worried. You'll be stressed. It might knock, somebody might walk in. This is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done that. But out of His mercy, He put him to sleep. When you sleep, you know, as the brother said, it's very difficult to wake up. When you sleep, you don't know nothing. The brothers in the class already explained the tafsir, and you have a nice little nap. Why? Because when you sleep, you don't worry about nothing. Nalis, I'm just speaking on you. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to sleep. So there will be no stress, there will be no worry, no anxiety. Anxiety, that's the word. I've been looking for it the whole time and it doesn't come, subhanAllah. And also a protection at the same time, they are asleep, the heart is nice and soft and feeling comfortable and tranquility. At the same time they're being protected from their people. So the people will not come to them, وَلْيَكُونَ آيَةً بَيِّنَةً, and for this to be a clear sign. We will see, inshallah, how this develops and how the story becomes more interesting. It's a very nice story. There's a lot of wisdom in it. The Shaykh will deal with this, inshallah, by the time we make it to the end of the surah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ أَيْ مِنْ نَوْمِهِمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا أَيْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْصَى لِمِقْدَارِ مُدَّتِهِمْ كما قال تعالى وكذلك بعثناهم ليتساءلوا بينهم الآية وفي العلم بمقدار لبثهم ضبط للحساب ومعرفة لكمال قدرة الله تعالى وحكمته ورحمته فلو استمروا على نومهم لم يحصل الاطلاع على شيء من ذلك من قصتهم. We are currently doing the tafsir of verse number 12, ya akhwan. Verse number 12. Allah says, then we resurrected them, then we sent them forth, meaning from their sleep, in order to so they could know which of the two groups had counted the duration that they remained in, the duration of time that they were asleep for. As Allah says in another verse, وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَأَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ, in the same surah, and such we sent them, so we resurrected them, so we made them get up from their sleep in order for them to question one another, to interrogate one another about the duration that they stayed. He says, and by having knowledge of the amount of time that they had remained is a sign that helps us keep the calculations, and is an indication about the complete ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses, and His wisdom and His mercy. Because if they were to remain asleep and none of this was ever mentioned, then a lot would have been missing from their story. We will see what is intended with all these inshallah as we move on. نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا. Now we're doing verse 13 and 14. Anybody wants to read the English, please? عبد الهادي. Verse 13 and 14, please read out loud so the people can hear you.
We narrate to you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam their story with the truth. Truly, they were young men who believed in their Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we increased him in vengeance. And we made their heart firm and strong with the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And bestowed upon them visions to view the separations of their king and kings and dwellings. When they stood up and said, "Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, neighbor shall we call upon any illa of God other than Him. If we did, we should indeed have honor and enormities in this belief."
Barakallahu feek. The Shaykh said, هَذَا شُرُوعًا شُرُوعًا فِي تَفْصِيلِ قِصَّتِهِمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُصُّ عَلَى نَبِيِّهِ بِالْحَقِّ وَالصِّدْقِ الَّذِي مَا فِيهِ شَكٌّ وَلَا شُبْهَةٌ بِوَجْهٍ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, now this is the initiation of the detailing of the story. Because first we were told about the general outline, that there are people, young men in the cave. The story is that they remained there for a number of years, running away, and they supplicated to Allah. This is what we know from the outline of the story, from the preview. Now we will go into the details of their affair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that He is narrating the story, and He is mentioning the story to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with truth, with the truthfulness that has absolutely no doubt in it, and no doubt from any aspect, free from any doubt. This is from Allah. Allah is the one who allowed this to happen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is telling us the story. So there cannot be any more accurate story on earth for your information than the ones that you find in the Quran. Because the Quran is what? It's the words of Allah. And we need to all know this. The Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spoke with these words. Now of course we know from the belief system of the Muslim that Allah laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like Allah. So you cannot imagine what the voice sounds like. And you cannot imagine the method of speech. But Allah told us in the Quran that He speaks, He spoke to Musa, right? He spoke to Moses without any angel being involved directly. How? Allahu A'lam. What does it sound like? Allahu A'lam. There's nothing like Allah. So we cannot think of anything similar in order for us to have an idea or an imagination. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with this Quran to Jibreel. And Jibreel alayhi salam, and whenever Allah would speak, by the way, all of the angels in the heavens will faint. And there will be, when Allah speaks, it's not just any speech. It affects all of the inhabitants of the heavens. And everybody faints. And the first one who wakes up is Jibreel. And he receives it. So then the angel will say, "What did your Lord say?" They will say, "The truth." Then Jibreel will come down and bring it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who may be on his camel traveling, who may be in his house with his wife, who may be somewhere. And all of a sudden, even if it's a cold day, he begins to sweat, and as if there's a heavy load on him. And the companions can see this. This is the revelation being given in the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What it is instilled in his heart, never to go away, except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the companions would see the Prophet ﷺ sweating on a cold day. And one time when he was on his mountain, on his mount, on the camel, the camel was not able to move anymore. It was going down on the ground from the weight of the revelation. إِنَّا سَنُوْكِ عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Allah says in the Quran, we will verily put upon you a heavy statement. This Quran is heavy. It's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it took a huge angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, to bring it down in order to put it in the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we attended a lecture of a Sheikh Shankiti, may Allah preserve him, who said some outstanding statement. And I've been looking for this answer for a long time, and maybe you feel the same way. You know, and when you read in Bukhari the story of the beginning of revelation, it mentions that Jibreel first hugged the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he let go, he said, speak, اقرأ, read, recite. And then he said, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئِ, I'm not a reciter. He hugged him a second time, and he hugged him a third time, right? Then the Prophet ﷺ was able to speak. I've been asked before, what's the wisdom behind that? And I never had an answer. What's the wisdom behind hugging him three times? It could have been easy. Just say, recite by the will of Allah, and he would have recited. But they say that this was the preparation. This was the intention behind the hug is to prepare him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the statement that's going to be revealed upon him. You understand what I'm saying? The same way when you have a child and he's traveling or what have you, you hug him, and you with all your heart there's things involved. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to be prepared physically and mentally for what is about to be given to him. Otherwise it would have been sufficient from the beginning to say recite. So there's a wisdom behind that actual hug that was given to him by Jibreel alayhi salam. And so the Quran was sent down. Now this story of the cave is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. So every letter in this story is the most truthful story on earth. So you go to a Jarir bookstore and you buy a fiction, or you buy a story that is based on a true life, a story that's based on a real life event, it can never be as accurate as what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran. Because Allah لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No sleep, no slumberness takes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's ever watching, ever noticing, even as we speak right now, and I hope this instills some fear in our heart, even as we are sitting here, Allah sees us and hears us. And on the Day of Judgment we will be questioned, and we will be discussing, we will remember this event. So, this what I'm about to narrate to you is the story from Allah. So let's have no doubt about the authenticity and the truthful in it. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بالحق نعم نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق. Verily we recite upon you their story with the truth. Because the Christians tried to challenge the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding these issues. We will deal with this inshallah as we get there. Then Allah told us, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. Verily they are youngsters, young men who believed in their Lord. وهذا من جموع القلة يدل ذلك على أنهم دون العشرة. Now this is where the importance of knowing the Arabic language is necessary for tafsir. Because of the way it was mentioned, the Shaykh said, and this is from the plural of small quantity, which indicates that they were lesser than 10. Because of the Arabic wording, إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم. The word فتية is an indication that they were less than 10. Because there are rules in the Arabic depending on the word. For example, the Arabs do this. You know, in English, you say Abu Mus'ab, comma, Abdul Hadi, comma, Abdul Aziz, comma, Dr. Khalid, comma, ila akhirih. And then the last one you say, and Rabi' went to the beach. So you put comma, 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 and when you mention the last thing, you put and. This is in the English language. In the Arabic, the same thing goes, but whenever you reach number 7, then and you want to mention number 8, you add a waw, which is an. It's the same thing. طيب? So you will mention 7 things, And then before number 8 comes, you will find that the waw is added. In Surah Az-Zumar, وَصِيقَ الَّذِينَ إِلَى كَفَرُوا وَصِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. Allah says about this in the Quran. And the disbelievers, those who disbelieved, they were gathered and they were driven into the hellfire in a group. And when they reached the hellfire, Allah says, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, the doors were open. How many doors does the hellfire have? 7. 7 doors for the hellfire. So there was no wall. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, until when they came to it, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, the doors open. But when Allah spoke about the people of Jannah, He says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. And those who had taqwa towards Allah, those who had piety, who were fearful of Allah, they were gathered also together to paradise. But when they reached it, وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, and the wall was added, the doors were open. Why? Because there are 8 doors for paradise. And what we mentioned here, after number 8, the wall has to come. In Jahannam, there are 7 doors, there was no wall. Although the words in the verses are very much the same. The only difference is kafaru, disbelieved, attaqaw, feared their Lord. And here Jahannam, and here Jannah. But here there was a wow in the second one, and the first one there was no wow. The wow is an end, it means end. Wow?
Yeah. Wow means end. But you say, wajdi wa abdul aziz, meaning wajdi and abdul aziz. Okay, it's an article. Everybody's with me? Anyways. So what I'm saying is there are special things in the Arabic language that are actually among the reasons why the Quran was revealed in Arabic. Because of the language is rich, it's unique, it's special, and there's many things that will make it even more difficult for somebody to come and bring something like it. So anyways, here the Sheikh said, based on the term fitya, this is an indication that there were a small number of people. There were a group of people, but they were lesser than 10. آمنوا, they believe, بالله وحده لا شريك له, they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, no partners alongside with Him. من دون قومهم, and they were the only ones among their people. فشكر الله لهم إيمانهم, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was thankful to their iman. Allah was thankful to their belief, because Allah shakur, Allah is thankful. When you do a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates it, so He rewards us for it in this dunya and the hereafter. Nothing goes, you know, into waste with Allah. Even the smallest deed, even the 1 riyal that we give to a needy person. فَزَادَهُمْ هُدَى. Here, they were, their thankful, excuse me, the thankfulness of Allah was that He increased them in guidance. And this is the best bounty that one of us can get. Because when you do a good deed, and Allah rewards you, there are many different rewards that you can get. There are things that are related to the dunya. Maybe you have more money, better job, more wives, or a new wife if you don't have any, and what have you. And there could be something related to something else. But the best kind of thing you receive back is an increase in guidance. MashaAllah. If Allah increases your guidance, you are a king. Even if you don't get the money and you don't get the other things of the dunya, if your iman increases, this is the best thing that we could be given in return for our good deeds. So in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ إِيمَانَهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ هُدَى, Allah increased them in guidance. أي بسبب أصل اهتدائهم إلى الإيمان زادهم الله من الهدى. Meaning because of the initial acceptance of guidance, Allah rewarded them by increasing their guidance. They had to, each person has to accept guidance on his own. Allah is the one who guides, but we have to seek guidance. So they sought guidance, they looked for guidance, they wanted guidance, so Allah guided them. After Allah guided them, out of the quality of being thankful, He increased them in guidance. But something must have come from them to begin with. It's not like Allah allowed them to believe and left everybody else as a disbeliever out of pick and choose or out of oppression. No. Never.
Never will Allah oppress any human being. Never will Allah ever, anybody who's a disbeliever, he's a disbeliever because of his own choice. Allah will not make anyone a disbeliever if they want belief. That's why many of you are Muslims. Not many of you. Every one of you here is a Muslim. Because you wanted guidance, so Allah guided you. And you know people like you who don't want any guidance. And they're still not Muslims. Because they do not want it. Not because there's a problem with Islam. Not because what we're discussing has problems. Wallah, there's nothing on in earth compared to Islam. You find any religion, anything where people sit down, they're either looking at a statue, or they're worshipping a cow, or they are reading some things that are not from Allah. They're studying some book that is not from Allah. Some book that some people wrote, according to John, according to Mark. Yes, yes, who's Mark and John? And what is the story with them? And how come they contradict each other? And how come this one says that this and this one says this? Here's 40,000, here 4,000, here this is his family lineage, and here there's another one. Jesus has two different origins. He has a family tree. What happened to being the Son of God? If he has a father, then this is done, man. So anyways, people are doing something else. There's no common sense says the only place where you could sit down and study the truth from Allah is in Islam. Everybody else will wind up misguiding you. Either telling you to take another God or to study something that God didn't reveal and innovate something into it that make you disbelieve. So the people who have not embraced Islam is a choice of their own. On the day that they choose to change, then there will be guidance from Allah. Then Allah will guide them. Because Allah is merciful, Allah intends goodness for us. Allah gave us the opportunity in order to get close to Him. It is the people who turn away. Not that Allah oppresses them. So this is important. So these brothers were chosen because they wanted guidance to begin with. Allah rewarded them by increasing their guidance. And here, guidance is two things. You want to note this down. Al-huda is huwa shay'ain. Al-ilm al-nafi' wal-amal al-salih. Al-ilm al-nafi' and I will translate what that means. Wal-amal al-salih. When you speak about guidance, if somebody told you to translate or to explain, define guidance, then guidance is two things.
There was al-huda.
Al-huda. This is the definition of huda. Huda is translated as guidance. And guidance is the combination of two things. عِلْمٌ نَافِعٌ وَعَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. عِلْمٌ نَافِعٌ. عِلْمٌ means knowledge. And last night's lecture was about عِلْم. Nafi' is beneficial, because there is knowledge that is not beneficial. So not any knowledge, beneficial knowledge. This is the first part, the first pillar of huda. And the second pillar, al-amal salih, righteous deeds. So when you say that somebody is guided, or somebody is upon guidance, meaning somebody who has brought two things into his life. Beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. You have to have both for you to become guided. Tayyib? Nice. Aywa. Kama qala ta'ala wa yazeedu Allahu alladhina ihtadaw huda. Allah says in another surah, and Allah increase those who have been guided with more guidance. Yes,
sir.
Yeah. And righteous deeds. Al-ilm al-nafi'u. Al-ilm al-nafi'u. Al-ilm al-nafi'u is beneficial knowledge. Al-ilm means knowledge. Nafi' is beneficial. This is an ayah. Excuse me. Al-amal al-salih. Al-amal means deeds or actions. Salih is right, upright, righteous. So, some brothers named Salih. He is righteous. Hopefully. Not talking about that brother, anybody who your name may be Salih and you may be a farfur. So Inshallah, we hope that everybody's name whose name is Salih is actually Salih. Yeah, so amal salih, righteous deeds. Ilm al-nafi', beneficial knowledge. This is guidance. And this is why there are many different sects in Islam today, and they are not guided. We know that there are sects in Islam, there's no need to hide it. And we don't be afraid for non-Muslims who try to come and throw this shubha in your face. Say, oh yeah, if Islam is the truth, why do you have Shia? And why do you have Druze? And why do you have ABC? Why are there Sufis? Don't be afraid. Tell them, you're not telling me anything, no Habibi. The Prophet ﷺ told me this 1400 years ago, that the Islam will divide into 73 sects, but only one will be upon true guidance. The one who follow his footsteps, ﷺ, and that of his companions. So you're not giving me any new information. I'm aware of the fact that Islam, and there will be different denominations, no problem. What the issue here is, where is the truth? We follow the truth. Allah made it in such a way where the truth is always protected by people of guidance. So not any person who is a Muslim is necessarily muhtadi, guided, because he might not have beneficial knowledge. He might have knowledge that is not beneficial. So his deeds are according to his knowledge which is not beneficial, so he is not upon guidance. This is why it's important to take the Islam from the right sources. Nowadays, ya akhwan, you cannot go to a bookstore and pick up any book about Islam. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot possibly go to a bookstore and find all the books about Islam, say, well, this looks good, take and go home with it. Because it's been 1400 years from Revelation. And different people with different innovations and misguidance and lack of knowledge have come and Allah composed books. You might go home with a belief system other than the one that you're supposed to be on. If you pick up a book from a Shia, who will not tell you he's a Shia by the way, you will wind up thinking that Jibreel made a mistake. He was supposed to go to Ali, but he came to Muhammad by mistake. Yes, Salam. Yes, Salam. Allah Majnun, Allah, a crazy person won't say this. A Christian won't say this. You're going to tell me God can't control his creation? An angel who's given the task of bringing revelation goes to the wrong guy? For 23 years, given him revelation? Yes, sir. If you make the mistake, the first time fix it. But this is what some of the Shia believe. And you see him on TV wearing a big turban and a beard like this. One thing, but Yashir, sit down, man. You're probably not a Muslim to begin with. Not all of them are non-Muslims. They have different. There's different sects in Shia. Some of them are still Muslims but have a lot of innovations. At least you could say they are the worst of sects. And some of them, they are so off in their belief system that they are outside of Islam. Because there are things that bring you into Islam and there are things that take you outside of Islam. You have to understand this. Not everybody who says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is a Muslim. Because this is what brings you into Islam. So if I bring the statue of Jesus Christ, and we all go to class, and we say La ilaha illallah 100 times, then before we leave, we pray two rak'ah for Jesus and go, will you still be a Muslim? No. You're a Kafir. Okay. You're a disbeliever, your La ilaha illallah means nothing. Because there are things that nullify it. But yet there are things that make it void. This is important. So, not everybody who speaks on behalf of Islam is really upon guidance. And not anybody who composes a book and puts it in the bookstore is also upon guidance. That's why we have to be careful. You have to ask the people of knowledge. People who you trust. Say, yaqi, there's a book composed by such and such brother. Do you know anything about it? Then people have references to scholars who will tell you, this book is okay, this book is not okay. This was nothing easier than the time of Muhammad ﷺ, because everybody was upon guidance. But he warned us that the time will come towards the end of day, towards the day of judgment, where the things will differ. And the people will innovate things into his religion. So he alayhi salam gave us a warning ahead of time. So you can no longer accept anyone. You have to make a distinction. Clear?
No.
Now, so guidance then, to be truly guided is you have to have knowledge that is beneficial. Knowledge of the Book of Allah, according to the people who have correct understanding, and knowledge of beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds according to your knowledge. Then you are guided. When you are guided, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your life a lovely one.
Sure.
وربطنا نعم إن شاء الله وربطنا على قلوبهم أي صبرناهم وثبتناهم وجعلنا قلوبهم مطمئنة وجعلنا قلوبهم مطمئنة في تلك الحالة المزعجة. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. يا شيخ you come to the other brother's class not mine. وهذا من لطفه تعالى بهم وبره أن وفقهم للإيمان والهدى والصبر والثبات والطمأنينة. Allah says وربطنا على قلوبهم. How is it translated? We tied upon their heart.
Yes.
طيب. Allah says we tied upon their heart. What is intended here? The Sheikh says أي صبرناهم, meaning we gave them patience وثبتناهم and we kept them firm. وجعلنا قلوبهم مطمئنة and we made their hearts in the state of tranquility in this very disturbing scenario. They're running away from their people, they're afraid they're going to be prosecuted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in the cave and gave them sleep for so many years and made their heart tranquil because of their supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, and this is from the gentleness and the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards them, that first He facilitated for them and gave them the ability to become guided, to believe and then become guided, and then He gave them patience and He made them more established and firm, and He gave them tranquility. إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا. Okay, we will stop inshallah. نحن we have made it right now to verse number well, let's finish the verse. Let's finish the. Oh no, brother Muhammad Subh is going to come. We are in the middle of verse number 13. No, I'm sorry, 14. Aywa, we were supposed to say إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَنْ نَدْعُوَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِلَٰهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَ. We will continue inshallah the explanation because it's been an hour already, and I want to give you a break before the other the Shaykh comes, so you can maybe go to the bathroom, freshen up, get some water, what have you. So بهذا نختم جلستنا ونحمد الله جل وعلا على التوفيق ونسأل الله زيادة في الهداية لنا ولكم. والله تعالى عالم. الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نعم حبيبي.
لا هو واحد ساعتين.